There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
On a battlefield, artillery bombardment, soldiers fire from foxholes, then advance. A sign reads, CP Company A Headquarters.
Jeeps return to base, carrying back dozens of troops.
Keep those trucks covered! Close it up! I said close it up!
Infantry Platoon, U.S. Army, Philippine Islands, 1945. These are the faces of the young men who fight. As if some omniscient painter had mixed a tube of oils that were at one time earth brown, dust gray, blood red, beard black, and fear yellow white. And these men were the models. For this is the province of combat, and these are the faces of war.
Captain Riker stands by a jeep. A sergeant comes over to him.
Hear me, Captain. Ain't it a crummy night?
Taking out a cigarette.
Rough. We got the bridge, whatever they wanted it for.
Riker lights a cigarette in the shelter of his helmet.
Japs have got naval guns stuck in the ground. And they're zeroed in. That bridge gets it every 3 minutes. The general wants to know where the Jap fleet is. It's dug in on the road to Manila.
Sergeant. Who'd we lose?
Lots of wounded. Maybe 10, 12. Four dead.
A lieutenant comes by, takes off his helmet.
Hibbard, Horton, Morgan, and Levy.
All right, Sergeant, bed them down. Check with the mess. Make sure they got hot coffee and a meal. If they're not hungry, eat anyway.
Yes, sir.
A Company! First platoon, chow down!
The sergeant walks off. The lieutenant looks down at the ground, away from Riker. Turns to walk away.
Fitz?
Sir?
Look, I have got me a bottle of Philippine tuba in my tent. Now, it's not exactly bottled in bond, but you'd be surprised what it does to a man's outlook. Come on.
In his tent, Riker pours from a bottle into a large metal cup.
Cheers.
Riker drinks from the bottle, the lieutenant from his metal cup. The lieutenant sits down.
Bad day, huh, Fitz?
12 wounded, 4 dead. All in 2.5 hours. 12 wounded, 4 dead.
Anything special about the 4?
Fitz looks at him.
Anything special? What do you mean?
Well, Fitz, we've lost 4 men before. We've lost 8 and 10. You seem to be taking this a little harder than usual. I just wondered if there was something special.
These 4 men were all under 21. Does it have to be more special than that?
No, it doesn't. But this has gotten you, Fitz, more than I've ever seen. I'd just like to know why.
You're a perceptive man, Phil. It's a mark of a good officer, isn't it? To ward off trouble by anticipating.
You gonna give me a hard time? I don't think so, Fitz. You're a good officer. You got guts and brains. But something has gotten to you. I told you I'd like to know what it is.
Would you?
Fitz reaches into his shirt pocket, takes out a piece of paper, and hands it to Riker. Riker looks at it.
Hibbard, Horton, Morgan, Levy.
Killed in action, Luzon, PI, 13, January 1945.
So?
So you want to know what's gotten into me, Phil? I wrote those names down yesterday. I wrote them down before we went up.
Why did you write down the names, Fitz?
Well, we had a weapons check, and I looked into their faces. And those four men...
Riker refills Fitz's cup. Fitz guzzles it down.
Feel better?
I looked into 44 faces yesterday morning. And when I got to those four, there was something special. A light or something that... I can't describe it to you. There isn't any description. But I looked into their faces and I knew. I knew this was their last day. I knew they were going to get it. I knew, and there wasn't any doubt about it.
Well, that's, it's funny. That's real funny.
Fitz holds his hands over his eyes.
I haven't slept much. I keep wondering, is this the way it's going to be? If every time I stand in front of a platoon, am I going to be able to look down the line and know which ones aren't coming back?
Fitz, when did you write these names down? You're sure it was yesterday? You're sure it wasn't today, on the way back, in the truck?
Yesterday. Yesterday morning, I swear to you, I wrote those names down yesterday.
Riker looks at the list. Then at Fitz. Later, at headquarters, Riker sits across a desk from the medical officer, Captain Gunther.
Well?
I can't tell, Captain. The stuff you've given me is inconclusive. I looked up his records. He's never been wounded. Seems like a pretty steady customer. No evidence of battle fatigue or anything at any time. Just why all of a sudden he should get this weird idea is hard to say. But I think we better put him in and run some checks.
The thing is, he believes it. You hear him tell it, you almost believe it yourself.
Gunther nods.
I'd appreciate you taking a look at him. He's a good man. He came in as cadre while we were still back in the States. He's one of the best officers we've got.
I'll do what I can, Captain. He's here now, you know.
No, I didn't know.
He's up in the ward visiting one of the boys from his platoon.
At a bed in the ward.
I'm fine, Lieutenant. How's the rest of the boys?
Oh, they're all fine. Porky got a little piece of shrapnel on his finger. But you know Porky, that's about as bad as he ever got.
This is a lucky kid.
That he is. You're not doing too bad. You get that all patched up, you'll be going home. That's not so hard to take, is it?
No, sir.
With a cigarette in his mouth.
It sure isn't.
Fitz offers a light.
No, thank you, sir. Could you lay it down over there for me, please?
Sure.
I won't be needing it for a while.
Fitz takes the cigarette and sets it on the side table.
Listen, Smitty, I got some stuff to do, so I'll see you tomorrow. You take it easy here.
Yes, sir.
Anything you need? You got stuff to read?
All I need.
Okay. You take care, Smitty.
Fitz turns to leave.
Thanks for coming, Lieutenant.
Fitz turns back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Smitty.
Does a double take, staring at Smitty, now in a white glow. Fitz faints and falls to the floor. Then he looks up at an orderly.
You okay, Lieutenant?
Yeah.
Who helps Fitz to his feet. They look over at Smitty, now apparently asleep. The orderly walks over and feels Smitty's forehead, waves his hand in front of Smitty's face, takes his pulse, puts Smitty's arm down.
He's dead. Just like that. They go awful quick sometimes, awful quick.
Fitz walks out of the ward. Then, down to where Riker is standing. Walks past him without even glancing at him.
Fitz?
I was up seeing Smitty.
Yeah, I know. I read his tag. Doc said he's going to be okay.
No, he isn't. I took a look at his face. I took a look at his face and I knew. And a minute later, he's gone.
Same thing.
Same thing. The look. Funny, funny light or whatever it is. And I knew, Phil, I knew.
Riker puts his arm around Fitz.
Fitz, I can't explain this, but...
I don't want you to explain it. How can you explain it? I mean, how can anybody explain it? I just want you to believe it, Captain. That's all I want from you. I want you to believe it.
Gunther walks in and talks to the orderly.
Bed 5, sir. Smith. You just died.
I'll have a look at him.
For what?
Fitz approaches him.
There's nothing to look at but a body. He's dead. And I knew he was going to die because I read it on his face.
To the orderly.
One back up. I'll be right there. So you knew, huh, Lieutenant?
You bet I did. I tabbed 4 men the other day.
Well, that's odd, don't you think?
Odd? That's not odd, Captain. Odd is when you go 30 days on the line and you don't lose a man. That's odd. Odd is when you walk 25 miles and you don't get a blister. Now you're talking odd. This isn't odd, Captain. This is nightmare. This is a lousy dog-faced line officer who can see death on people's faces.
Or a dog-faced line officer who's cracking under the strain from having done too much and felt too much and finally having to succumb to it.
I'm 5 for 5, Captain. How many coincidences add up to a fact? How many men do I have to tab as the least likely to succeed? How many more faces do I have to look into? What I want to know is, what does it take to make you guys realize that somewhere along the line I picked up a talent they don't teach at OCS? One thing you might do while I'm... while you're waiting and scratching.
Ruffling his hair.
You might put tape over my eyes or poke them out and do something I won't be able to see. So I won't have to look at any more faces.
He pushes Gunther and Riker aside and walks off. At the base camp. In his tent, Riker stands in front of a map and speaks to a group of 4 lieutenants, including Fitz.
Now, we spearhead the attack moving across at the point, followed by Baker and Charlie Company. Now, at this point to the east, some Filipino guerrillas will be crossing the river by boat. Now, their job will be to knock out any and all Jap guns on that side of the river so that we should be able to move across the bridge against only small arms fire. We got about 22 minutes before we load up the trucks. Give each one of your platoons a good briefing. Make sure that each man has a belt, 5 grenades, 6 ammo clips. No backpacks. All right, that's it. Good luck.
The other lieutenants leave. Fitz remains and sits down.
Captain, you still want my platoon to take the point?
I don't know yet, Fitz. I think that
Fitz looks at Riker and sees the same white glow.
What's the matter, Fitz?
Fitz gets up and turns away from him.
Fitz, you think you're well enough to take the platoon? Now, Gunther thinks you'd be better off with 3 weeks back at division. I agree with him. Now, this thing won't take more than a few hours, but it'll be messy.
Captain, you better not go.
Why, Fitz?
Fitz turns to face him.
Yeah. It's on your face, too. If you go, you won't be coming back.
Fitz, get your platoon set. You've only got about 15 minutes left.
Now, Phil, please...
I'll tell you what we're going to do about that. We'll talk about it when we get back. We'll have a drink to it. We'll drink to an illusion, to a couple of coincidences. Now that's it, Fitz. I'll see you at the trucks.
Captain, you won't be drinking to anything. Because you're not coming back.
Fitz walks out. Riker checks his watch. Takes a gun out of its holster and loads ammunition into it. And back into the holster. Takes a wallet out of his pants pocket, takes out a bunch of photos, and drops them on the desk. Photos of his kids. Then puts his wedding ring on top of them. Fitz reaches his platoon, reviews his troops, looking at them one by one. One of the soldiers speaks up.
Lieutenant? What about it? I mean, everybody says you can tell. Everybody says you know who's going to get it and who isn't. Well, how about it, Lieutenant? Give us a break, huh?
Fitz walks on past him.
No, come on, Lieutenant. Now, look, it ain't fair. You know who's going to get it and who isn't.
Knock it off, Freeman.
All right, Sergeant.
Riker steps in.
Now, look, somebody started this wild gag, and somebody's going to get burned for it. There's nobody in this company who's a mind reader, including Lieutenant Fitzgerald. Am I right, Lieutenant?
Fitz scans the line of troops from left to right. Then looks at Riker.
That's right, sir.
All right, Sergeant, let's go.
Yes, sir.
Let's go!
Fitz and Riker put their helmets on.
Okay, load them up! Let's go! Load them up! In the trucks!
The troops head off toward the waiting jeeps and climb aboard. The jeeps drive off. The troops take up positions along the riverbank. Now they advance. Later, a convoy of jeeps drives down a road. The jeeps return to camp.
Close it up! All right, close it up!
The soldiers hop off. The soldier hands a clipboard to the sergeant, whom Fitz approaches.
Forget about extra details this morning, Sergeant. This is the sack.
Yes, sir.
Fitz walks aside toward the tent.
Come on, hurry it up. Fall in, roll call.
Farrell.
Here.
Ashbaugh.
Here.
Blackman.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
He goes in the tent.
Delgado.
Here.
Here. He walks over to the map, takes off his helmet. Glances at the table. Pushes aside the wedding ring and looks at the photos. Reaches into his shirt pocket and takes out a dog tag. Drops the dog tag on the photos. Another officer enters the tent.
How's your work, Fitz? I just thought I'd drop around and congratulate you boys on the good job you did.
Thank you, sir.
All the odds fell in on our side. Those guerrillas did a right handy job on those guns, and you fellas walked right across, didn't you?
Right across.
That's fortunate. The Air Force must have picked off at least 6 or 7 of those 25s. Of course, those guns have been operating. That might have been the longest bridge you'd ever been on, or the shortest. Sniper fire, that's all you had, wasn't it?
Yes, sir, sniper fire.
Mm-hmm.
We lost one man.
Looking at the table. The officer picks up the dog tag, looks at it.
Well, that's a pity. He was a good man. You're good friends, weren't you, Fitzgerald?
Fitz nods his head. The officer picks up the photos.
So much for Mrs. Riker's lovely wedding. 7 happy years, 2 fine sons. Man, war stinks.
He walks out of the tent.
Lieutenant?
Says a soldier standing outside.
Captain Gunther wants to see
you. Fitz walks over to Gunther.
Lieutenant, some orders have come through on you. You're to report back to division.
Back to division?
Yeah, they want to look you over. Be a nice couple of weeks' rest for you. So you better pack up your gear and take it with you.
Okay. Thank you, Captain.
Later. Fitz puts a packed duffel bag outside the tent and packs a small toiletry bag. Grabs a couple of helmets. Looks at a small mirror on a wooden post outside the tent. He looks down at his face. Now, in the same white glow. He knocks the mirror off the post and looks down at the ground.
Lieutenant Fitzgerald? The Jeep's ready to take you back to division, sir, anytime you're ready. Lieutenant Fitzgerald?
What?
This your bag, sir?
Grabbing the duffel bag.
Yes, that's my bag. Can I put it in the Jeep for you, sir?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, sir, we're ready anytime you are.
Fitz picks up the toiletry bag, looks down at the ground, where three shards of the broken mirror reflect his face. He drops the bag, walks toward the Jeep, puts on his helmet.
Well, it's a little bouncy, sir, but it sure beats walking.
Fitz gets in. The sergeant approaches the driver.
You going back to division?
Yeah. The further back I get, the better I like it.
He's taking the Cavite Road?
Oh, I got to. There's a bridge out up there on the highway.
That's what I figured. The engineers think they've spotted some mines just a mile up the road. They haven't had a chance to dig them up yet, so take it easy. Stay close to the shoulders. I want you to take good care of the lieutenant here.
Fitz turns his head.
Sergeant, you're looking at the most careful driver in the United States Army.
Manages a thin smile.
If I could lift this here Jeep and walk tippy-toe Garnet, believe me, brother, I'd do it.
He takes the wheel.
Well, Lieutenant, you may as well get comfortable. I guess we got about a four-hour ride ahead of us.
Fitz stares at him silently.
Do we?
The driver's face now in the white glow.
I doubt it.
The Jeep starts up. Later, at base camp, three soldiers lie down under a palm tree, one playing the harmonica, the others reading letters. The sergeant comes by.
You play that pretty good.
One hand.
The other arm in a sling. The soldiers look up.
Did you hear that?
Thunder?
I don't think so. It sounded more like an explosion.
The sergeant looks up at the sky.
Maybe it was thunder, yeah. Yeah, that's what it was, probably thunder.
He walks off.
From William Shakespeare, Richard III, a small excerpt. The line reads, "He has come to open the purple testament of bleeding war." And for Lieutenant William Fitzgerald, A Company, 1st Platoon, the testament is closed. Lieutenant Fitzgerald has found the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by Richard L. Baer. Written and narrated by Rod Serling. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Dick York, William Reynolds. With William Phipps, Barney Phillips, S. John Launer, Michael Vandiver. Paul Mazursky, Mark Cavell, Warren Oates, Ron Masak. Music by Lucien Moravec. Conducted by Lude Gluskin. Director of Photography, George T. Clements. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, William Ferrari. Assistant Director, Edward Denault. Casting, Mildred Goose. Film Editor, Bill Mosher. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Rudy Butler. Sound, Frank Milton, Gene Valentino. Animated Title, by UPA. Copyright 1959, by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio Description, by Lou Lasher.